Hello again. You're listening to the news at one. Pharmaceutical giant Pfizer is to reduce temporarily its deliveries of COVID-19 vaccine to European countries while it upgrades production capacity, according to reports this lunchtime from Norway. Norwegian health authorities say they've been told by the company to expect almost 8,000 fewer doses than expected, a reduction of around one-sixth in their allocation. Here, the Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, has said that three mass vaccination centres will be stood up tomorrow in Dublin, Galway and Portlaoise to vaccinate GP teams. There has, of course, been criticism of the pace of the vaccine rollout, although information released last evening puts Ireland second only to Denmark for the proportion of our population that has been vaccinated so far. The government is promising that 700,000 people in the priority groups will have received their vaccine by the end of March. Well, we can talk this lunchtime to the chair of Ireland's COVID-19 vaccination task force, Professor Brian McCrae. Very good afternoon to you, Professor McCrae, and thanks for talking to us on the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian. Thanks for inviting me in.
Can I get your response, first of all, to these reports we're getting from Norway? Pfizer temporarily reducing deliveries, they say, because they want to upgrade production capacity. Do you have any information about that?
We had some just this morning, maybe like everybody else, but we had some alert just mid-morning that this was emerging as an issue. Basically, the plant in Belgium in Poers is scaling up from a commitment of 1.3 billion doses a year to 2 billion, but apparently part of that scaling up requires a short holdback for regulatory issues. We don't know, Brian, is, and we can't make predictions on this, what the actual scale back is in terms of the deliveries. We had a high degree of confidence, as we've stated a number of times, on the number of vaccines that will be coming on a weekly basis from Pfizer. And as of this moment, we don't know what that the implications are in that regard. You mentioned a number, I think, in the introduction. If it were small, obviously it has lesser impact, but we have built a model around the whole demand and supply-driven system. And so we're working through various scenarios at the moment, but I'm expecting to hear more details, more specifics throughout the afternoon so that we can be more precise with that. But we've always said from the very beginning of this that the implementation plan, the strategy, had to be agile. We're dealing with so many factors that are uncertain. And again, we're seeing one now, potentially a production issue for one of the major vaccines. But it also highlights the fact that it's so important to have a range of vaccine possibilities coming on stream. So we'll wait and see. It's just very difficult to predict the impact of this, but we will adjust accordingly. We've planned for this sort of eventuality. We'll adjust accordingly to change the rollout plan to accommodate this. And I think that's important.
That would presumably then mean fewer vaccinations being delivered next week or perhaps in the following weeks, as long as this lasts, and if it does affect our supplies.
Of course, that would be the implication. And what we would be watching very carefully is the dual dose aspect of this. That is for those individuals that have received their first dose to actually focus on ensuring that second dose, which originally was recommended for 21 days, that would be provided for those individuals.
And are those reserves in place regardless of what happens?
Well, until we make the model of this, we may have to adjust the planning. There was a very accelerated program planned for this weekend and into next week, particularly for the nursing homes, and we'll have to look at the implications there. So the actual buffer and the reserves to address that, that'll have to be to the forefront of our modelling, Brian, as you'd understand. So all of this is happening live as we speak.
Yes.
And in the other room beside me here, we've teams of people working through this. But crucially, we're waiting on specific information from Pfizer themselves and what the percentage reduction is. Early indications it was that it might be just 3 or 4 weeks. But once these sort of things happen, one is never sure. So it's that whole issue of the uncertainty of all of this rollout, I think that's you know, underpinning so much of what we do.
Yeah.
But the plan is intended to be adaptable. We'll model through this now, and as soon as we get solid information from Pfizer, we will adjust accordingly.
There's also this
is about a safe rollout, though, Brian. That's crucial.
There's also this question of the gap, and you just mentioned it, between doses. It's been increased, we're told, by the HSE from 21 days to 28 days. Now, why has that decision been taken, and are you satisfied that doesn't compromise in any way the effectiveness of the vaccine?
Well, this recommendation and this decision came through NIAC, which is the National Immunization Advisory Committee, and I won't try to speak on their behalf, but they have amended the chapter. There's a chapter that applies to every single vaccine that's rolled out in Ireland. written by those. And earlier this week, they amended that to enable a separation between the two doses to be between 21 and 28 days. You will recall that in the United Kingdom and some other countries, they pushed this up to 12 weeks. So I know that NIAC in the deliberations looked at all the clinical trial evidence, looked at all the information, looked at the World Health Organization, the European Medicines Agency, to look at this. But all of this, just to be clear, was in advance of any information from Pfizer about this particular issue.
Right.
It also enables, Brian, you understand, a bringing together a normalization of the two vaccines we have, the Moderna, which is 28 days, and the Pfizer vaccine. Mm. But I think potentially that may assist us if this is a short-term break-in or disruption in supplies, that the facility to go out to 28 days. But we have to look at all the issues very carefully, medical, ethical, all of these issues, and they'll all be deliberated upon right throughout the weekend.
Right. Moderna, you mentioned there, and it seems to be the vaccine that's going to be used in these first of the mass vaccination centres, as they're being described by Minister Stephen Donnelly, in Dublin, Galway and Portlaoise this weekend. It'll be GPs and GP teams, for the most part, will it, who receive vaccination at those centres?
That's correct. A very modest supply of Moderna vaccine arrived earlier this week, 3,600 doses, and again, they were very clear in their guidance, actually, to hold back the 50%. So, effectively, that first delivery, and they come in fortnightly from now on, that first delivery will allow us to vaccinate up to 1,800 people. And we felt that we should do this, in a very controlled situation, and to use it as an opportunity, number one, to address and support the GP community that are going to play such a critical part in all of the whole vaccination rollout, but also to pilot our mass vaccination centres. So you're correct, there will be three, one in Dublin, in City West, one in Portlaoise, and one in Galway. And I think we will learn a lot from that, and the HSC Estates team have been in advanced planning around this issue for weeks, maybe months, I'll probably visit some of these myself over the weekend to get a sense of how they operate. But we learn a lot from this, and part of the overall scale-up of the vaccination program, when we get into dealing with hundreds of thousands of vaccinations per week, and that's not that far away, these mass vaccination centres, and there will be of various sizes, Brian, and they will be distributed regionally and represent and reflect the demographic distribution nationally.
And have those locations been selected?
Advanced planning is there. I mean, we worked through 2 hours of meetings yesterday looking at potential locations for those and working with the local authorities, the city and county managers. So there's, teams of people working on how we roll out those. The sort of timing for those would be probably in the late February, early March space. But again, all of this being driven by the supply volume. So the timing of that, again, will depend on the rate at which, for example, if AstraZeneca vaccine gets approved in late January, as we hope it will, and those volumes start to come in. But for example, if there was a reduction in the Pfizer vaccine over an extended period, which is not being indicated so far, but all of those will affect the scale up into those other locations.
Brian McGrath, hundreds of thousands, you say, of vaccines being delivered per week. Who's going to deliver those vaccines? Who's going to administer them? And what sort of numbers of vaccinators are you going to require?
So again, if you ask me about what's the primary focus at the moment, one is on the mass vaccination centres and that distribution. The second is on the vaccinator workforce. And this, again, is really what's attracting all our attention. Because again, in our projections and models, we know that in quarter one, if nothing else changes, that would be somewhere around 1.4 million doses arriving this quarter. But in quarter two and three, we can be over a million a month. And so we have to start considering a vaccination rate that's 200,000 to 250,000 a week. So we're looking at all possible sources of scaling up the vaccinator workforce beyond where it is at the moment. So far we've been relying on what you call peer vaccinators in hospitals and the community vaccinator teams out in the community. But now we're starting the engagement with all the regulatory bodies. So starting point is regulated healthcare professionals, because we want to roll out the vaccinator teams in a very safe and careful way. But those discussions now have commenced, and we have lots of offers from various sources. And, for example, talking to the ICGP, the Irish College of General Practitioners,
and the pharmacists.
And the pharmacists, of course.
The pharmacists and the GPs
have rolled out the flu vaccine, maybe 1.5 million in a short period of time.
but also cohorts of retired GPs, for example, have approached us. Hospitals have offered a weekend and evening clinics. So we're working through all of these and trying to coordinate
How many people are you going to need?
Well, at peak, we certainly will be looking at numbers between 2,500 and 3,000 at peak.
And they'll all presumably have to be trained, because some of these vaccines, the training is specific to them, isn't it?
Yeah, so if we're working with, as we expect, as in the UK, regulated healthcare professionals, they will be trained in vaccination in general. But however, there is vaccine-specific training that each vaccinator has to take. Now, this is maybe 2 to 3 hours online, but it is vaccine-specific. But the good news, Brian, is already at this stage, over 4,000 people have taken on and have completed that vaccination training, over 4,000.
Just two final questions. I mean, quite a bit of criticism of the pace of the rollout of this vaccination programme, and people looking for information, and that information perhaps not always been readily available. Are we to some extent hampered in terms of the pace of this by the fact that we're tied into the EU system? We're not, it would seem, there's no intention to bypass the EU's ordering procedures to get our hands on supplies of vaccine ourselves.
Well, there's a number of elements to your question there, Brian. I think, first of all, as a small country, we've been able to leverage the benefit of being a member of the European Union. I mean, already there's a commitment to over 16 million doses of vaccines. And if we were have been operating as an individual country, that mightn't have been that possible. And, for example, just in the past 2 weeks, the Pfizer vaccine itself has scaled up to over 5.2 million for us here in Ireland. So I think that there's strength in that. But equally, there can be challenges, as we're hearing from Pfizer today. Yeah. So I think the issue you raise as well in terms of the slow rollout, I hope the data that Paul Reid, CEO of the HSE, announced yesterday will put some of that to bed. And, in fact, while I don't believe in league tables are appropriate for this very serious activity, the fact that we're now rated number 2 in Europe across EU members in terms of the speed of the rollout pro rata with our population, I think is significant. And it's a real tribute to the frontline workers, all the workers in the HSE that have been working night and day to get this right. But to get to the numbers we've got to, and bear in mind, we haven't completed three weeks yet. It was 2 weeks on Tuesday, last Tuesday we started. So we're 2 weeks and a couple of days. And over 77,000 people have been vaccinated. And again, we are following what we committed to, and that is that the vaccine rollout will be limited only by supply. So that will match that.
I suppose, I mean, people are looking to the UK just north of the border and seeing a more rapid rollout taking place. But just a final question about...
Brian, can I just push you back on that? In a race, normally people start at the same time, and you compare them in terms of how quickly they get to the end. The UK started, as you know, due to their independent approval of the vaccine, 3 weeks ahead of Ireland. So it's inappropriate to compare the rate in Northern Ireland with Southern Ireland when they started 3 weeks before us. The actual rate per week in Republic of Ireland is significantly ahead of Northern Ireland. And again, those comparisons across EU members, and it's appropriate to compare it across EU members, we're actually, as I say, number 2 across the EU 27. Not that, you know, while that's something that might be temporary and it'll go up and down, it does reflect a huge amount of work from all of those involved in rolling out this vaccination programme, particularly those workers who work night and day in the HSE to make it happen.
Just a final question about the flow of information, about communicating with the public. We've been promised regular updates on the numbers been vaccinated, but is there a better job to be done here in keeping people informed about the progress of this programme?
Well, I think you'll see a lot more over the coming weeks. I think at the moment the HSE, and it's a HSE decision at the moment, will update twice a week and give more and more detail. And I think when the IT system is fully up and running, we can derive an awful lot more information from that. We're very conscious, and I think it is a criticism that I think has to be addressed by us in terms of more public information going out. So you'll see a significant a step up in the public information campaign, and people want to know, you know, when might I be vaccinated, where do I go, how do I register? All of that information will be rolling out from next week in a very clear fashion, and a lot more information about the vaccination details will come out. But for now, I think it's most appropriate that it comes out in that twice a week through the HSE itself. But in the coming weeks, as we move out of the nursing homes and into the broader community, I think you'll see a lot more in terms of segmentation of data. But we absolutely delighted that the public is so keen and interested in this, and that the uptake so far has reached levels that I think haven't been seen in any other country. Over 97% in some of the hospitals I think that's very positive, but it's incumbent on all of us involved in the vaccination rollout to make sure the public is highly informed about every aspect of this.
Very good. Well, Professor Brian McGrath, thank you for talking to us on the news at this lunchtime. Brian McGrath, Chair of the COVID-19 Vaccination Task Force.